And reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and waves obey him?" Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, too often in life we find ourselves in the midst of stormy seas, and too often we forget to reach out to you for comfort and for hope. Remind us, O God, that whatever the occasion in life, whatever the issues with which we are dealing, you are our source of strength and hope. Be with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I broke up my Prince Edward Island vacation with a trip to Newfoundland, with the goal of visiting the French islands of Saint-Pierre and Miquelon. As an aside, if you ever have the opportunity to do that, you must. It's far cheaper than a trip to Paris with the same amazing cuisine and shopping. Anyway, I always look for bargains and adventures when I travel, so I thought it would be an experience to take the ferry to Newfoundland instead of flying. Has anyone ever taken the ferry to Newfoundland from Nova Scotia before? Which ferry did you folks take? The one from New Brunswick. Oh, right. Okay, so is that the short trip or the long trip? The short one. Anybody taken the long one before? No. So I thought, oh, sorry. Yeah. So what is it, 18 hours or something? It's long, right? It's overnight. Yeah, well, that's long when you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Anyway, I decided I was going to take the ferry. So, and I had conjured up this image of, you know, cruising along on some beautiful ocean liner with my gin and tonic sitting on the deck. I was so excited. But the day I got online to book it, I found that the very ferry I was going to take had experienced engine trouble, and at that very moment was stuck somewhere out in the ocean. But I need not worry, it said, because by the date I was going to take it, it would be back in service and everything would be fine. No worries. All I want to say to those of you who haven't grown up by the ocean is that only once have I experienced being caught far from dry land on a ferry that couldn't make its way through the ice floe. And I called upon the name of countless saints and the name of our good Lord himself, and there was no stilling that storm. And I am never going through that experience by choice again. I love the story we read from the Gospel of Mark today, because you can just imagine poor Jesus trying to have a nap when the disciples get a little worked up about the stormy seas. And Jesus basically tells them to chill. I mean, really, they should have known after following him around for a bit that if he could cast out demons, turn water into wine, tell his mother to calm down, and otherwise handle things that mere mortals couldn't, then a little storm was not going to be too much for him. And he pretty much tells the disciples that. Have they still no faith after all that time? Don't they know he's got it? This reading actually used to bother me quite a bit because I figured if Jesus was so good at stilling storms, then perhaps he could be getting some practice on calming rough waters in my life. Like most of you, I imagine, I've had a few times when it would have been nice for a divine presence to swoop down and set things right. Or to be a little less egocentric, I would also have been happy to see Jesus tackle any number of storms in the world. I'm sure we have our own list, and right now the safety, security, and sanity of children separated from their parents is probably right at the top. There are lots of rough waters in our world that could use some stilling if Jesus wanted to make a habit of that sort of thing. But the reality is sometimes the storm surges can be huge. And sometimes there seems to be no relief when we're caught in the midst of those rough waters. Having faith is no guarantee that the waters will be parted and the passage to the other side will be smooth. But that's when the deeper meaning of our passage today really hits home, I think. Rather than Jesus' willingness to calm the waters so the disciples could get control of their collective panic attack, I think what he was saying to them and to us really is when the storm hits, when the waters get rough, don't forget I'm in the boat with you. You're never alone. And that's a message I think we all need to hear and to internalize. As crazy as this life can get, we're never doing it alone. Now, I can tell you right now, that is not a message I would suggest delivering to people currently in the midst of crisis. What the parents who have been separated from their children need to hear is not, "Don't worry, God is with you." What they actually need to hear is that because we believe God is with them, we will bear the weight of responsibility for ensuring they feel that divine presence. And that means we will work tirelessly until laws are changed in our world and wrongs are put right and the justice and love and peace and understanding we believe to be the trademarks of Christianity will win over evil. I have witnessed that sort of love in action, especially in this past year at St. John's. As we have lost one member after another, I have watched many of you, even in the midst of your own grief, walk beside those preparing for death and those left to grieve, even when your own grief was raw and painful. It would be wonderful if we could right all of the wrongs in the world, but we need to remember not to ignore the opportunities within our reach that sometimes just don't seem as interesting or as rewarding as tackling the ones that receive global media attention. I know people have been asking me this past week what we can do about the situation south of us. And there are some suggestions issued by the United Church found on their website, none of which I think are the one answer. But here's what I would like to suggest. Not that we want to ignore situations of that magnitude, but if we are truly anxious to act on behalf of Jesus Christ, who calls us to a life of compassion, then we cannot ignore the opportunities right here close to home. I have witnessed the love with which you welcomed a Syrian refugee family just 2 years ago. And I've witnessed the continuing support you have provided as they have struggled to get on their feet. As we knew when we entered into this agreement of sponsorship, while our legal obligation might have only lasted a year, we have a much deeper moral obligation to walk with them until they are established and until life approaches normal for them. And so I encourage you to touch base with Sue, with Wendy, with Frank, with a multitude of people, with me, with any number of people who still keep in touch with them and endeavor to follow them closely. And I encourage you to offer your friendship, to offer your support, to aid in their job search, and if you are able, to offer ongoing financial support. Strangers in a new land are indeed within our reach. So I won't go on about the other opportunities that exist even here in Oakville, but the possibilities are endless. And as we each take even one small step in the direction of offering moral and tangible support to others, the love of Jesus Christ becomes real in our world. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. Let's do our job with passion and with resolve.